KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinneen, and it's 9:02. The community of Kotlik has declared a disaster due to this weekend's storm. Jimmy O'Kitgun is the pastor at the Assembly of God Church in Kotlik. He says the community was flooded early Sunday morning at about midnight, shortly after ice moved in, causing extensive damage to the water and sewer lines. Half of the community is without water and sewer.
It's just like something just came in and plowed its way through Kotlik. It was just ice coming in, so it was really bad. And there's places that have 4 feet of ice, and boats are everywhere, pushed further up on the banks.
O'Kitgun says there are a few homes that have water and ice damage. People late Saturday night were evacuated to the school and to homes that are on higher ground. With the extensive water and sewer damage to half the homes in Kotlik, some families are still staying at the school.
There's a lot of damage, and utility doors broken in half, bent out of shape, houses, and pipes torn from the houses, and so it's bad.
O'Kitgun says storms have gotten worse in recent years. In 2011, Kotlik, like other coastal communities, was hit by a November storm like this one.
This one was stronger. The water came in faster and stronger. And then when the ice followed, it got even worse. So they're getting worse.
The city of Kotlik was in communication yesterday with the state of Alaska. And around 6:30 Saturday night, police and volunteers began riding around in Stebbins, loading people onto vehicles in a community-wide evacuation. Half of the community went to the IRA building. The other half went to the school. Winter storm and coastal flood warning stood in the red, and Francis Pete Sr., an evacuation team volunteer, said it was the worst flooding Stebbins has seen in decades.
We had water coming in both ways, and it came up quick, worse than the last floods we had. Me and my friends, relatives, we remember around 1964, that was the last time we had flood like this. But some elders say that it was worse than 1964.
Pete said the flooding moved 3 to 4 homes off their foundations, drifted boats and damaged fish racks and smokehouses, and relocated a water pipe. However, Pete says the shifted pipe does not affect the village's water supply. It was a late night for the evacuation team in Stebbins, most of them working into the next morning. But with no injuries reported, their efforts paid off.
We were up and all night. Some people didn't sleep all night until next morning. I know I stayed up until 8 o'clock. But we're all happy that everybody was safe, and we made sure that nobody was stranded. There was a lot of people helping.
Pete says the next step will be cleaning up debris as a community. The community of Unalakleet was also hit hard by the storm. It was initially believed that 3/4 of a mile of their main water transmission line was taken out by erosion. However, crews found last night that most of the destroyed pipe was the old abandoned transmission line. The line currently used to bring water to Unalakleet is buried deeper, but City Manager Scott Dickens said last night that roughly 500 to 700 feet of the current water transmission line was lost by high water and erosion. The Unalakleet City Council will hold an emergency meeting this morning, but state DOT and city crews have been working since the storm hit. Dickens said yesterday they have about a mile of debris to clear before they can begin fixing the pipe. With no water flowing to the water holding tank, the city asks residents in Unalakleet to conserve water. Dickens says with 850,000 gallons in the tank, they have 10 to 21 days of water left with conservation.
If we could keep the water flowing, the transmission line would be in great shape, and that's what we're working towards right now, and try to repair what we can. But I'm thinking it's going to be at least a week before we could get that fixed, maybe 2. It's a matter of getting Arctic pipe here as soon as we can.
Waves in Unalakleet early Sunday morning were up to 12 to 14 feet. 10 homes were evacuated, but Dickens does say there was no individual property damage. But there was damage to the temporary seawall and also to the gabion used for erosion mitigation. Dickens says the whole gabion sloughed down about 10 feet. But of course, he says, the priority at this point is to get the main water transmission line fixed.
So we've been, you know, kind of blessed with this warm weather, but at the same time, we got a storm out of it. But, you know, we got to do what we can with the time we have and do everything we can do to get this fixed.
Dickens says he's also been in talks with Senator Donnie Olson and Representative Neil Foster regarding the current situation in Unalakleet. And this special weather statement from the National Weather Service, a series of storms is expected to develop over the Bering and Chukchi Seas, sweeping across northern Alaska Tuesday night through Thursday. Although there's still some uncertainty in the forecast details, another round of stormy weather is expected across much of western Alaska. These weather systems will result in a long stretch and an extended period of westerly winds across the Bering Sea. This will bring heavy surf and another round of coastal flooding Wednesday night and Thursday to the Bering Sea coast, including the Norton Sound. This will likely impact the areas in the Norton Sound that experienced coastal flooding on Sunday. Strong winds north of the Seward Peninsula may also produce heavy surf along the Chukchi Sea coastline as well. And some good news this morning. Last weekend, Unalakleet hosted the Bering Strait School District's 32nd annual wrestling and cheerleading tournament. In total, 288 students and faculty were slated to attend, but storms early Thursday morning kept a few from making it all the way. The tournament lasted from weigh-in on Thursday until the award ceremony Saturday night. Middle and elementary school students squared off with one another on the mats in front of stands full of cheering family and friends. Thursday night was filled with seating matches to pair the wrestlers off by weight and level. Friday and Saturday were devoted to competitive matches, moving the athletes through brackets and eventually to the podium. In between bouts, cheerleading teams came to the floor to support their classmates. And at the end of the night, individual wrestlers and cheerleaders were honored with awards, as were entire teams, but the prevailing sentiment during the 3 days of competition was one of unity among the different communities making up the Bering Strait region. For more than three decades, the tournament in Unalakleet has served partly as a measuring stick for families returning each year. Former athletes return as coaches, and parents watch their own kids compete like they did years before. In an era and region that has transformed so much, the tournament has become its own island of continuity between generations. While the event is built around cheerleading and wrestling, it also serves to gather people from across the region and remind them of what they have in common. And at the award ceremony, regardless of which town or school won, the whole audience cheered them on. As a strong storm and coastal swells crashed into the shores of Unalakleet, parents and staff at the school kept students calm amid power cuts toward the end of the award ceremony. Even during the worst hours of storm flooding, the announcers kept calling up student athletes to award individual achievements. Not even a storm surge could derail BSSD's yearly tournament. The price of gold is not available this hour. It's currently 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.